Genesis 19, 4 and 5. Now, Greg said that these, they're called men in the text, and they were angels. He said they were angels. You find that out later. They were angels, or maybe even before. He says they were women, though. The Bible doesn't say that. It's not important that they were angels. The men did not know that came to the city and wanted to, quote, know them, have sexual relations with them. They thought they were men. That's what's important. Notice Genesis 19, 4 and 5. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said to him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. They were angels in the form of men. These people of Sodom didn't know they were angels. They thought they were men. And they wanted to have sexual relations from them, with them. Lot rebuffed them. It was wrong what they intended to do. It was men wanting to have sex with men, and they were condemned for it. As a matter of fact, God was going to destroy the city in Genesis 18, and Abraham persuaded him, hold off, if I can find 40 people, or 30 people, or 20 people, or 10, or 5. They ended up getting destroyed. Evidently, they didn't find enough. So, remember in Jude, verse 7, it says they were wrong because they were committing fornication, going after strange flesh. It is true it didn't happen, but it is the intention of those men that is condemned. Now, Greg brought up about tattoos. Now, in effect, I already answered that. I anticipated that. I said from the very beginning when I brought up the passages in Leviticus that we're not under the Old Testament law anymore. We changed to a New Testament law. And there are some things that are condemned of the Old Testament, and I don't believe they are condemned of the New. I don't like tattoos myself. But I wouldn't say that they're condemned of the New Testament. And there are some other things like that in the Bible, like eating catfish was wrong under the Old Testament. It's not today. I explained when I went through Leviticus to start with that we're under the New Testament law today, but I wanted to show from the Old Testament that it was wrong back then. You follow what I'm saying? But when Greg, he says, when Greg admits that it was wrong under the Old Testament, that is essentially his argument. It was wrong for some people, and I agree that this is a law for the Jews. It was wrong for some people in their land. I'll just grant all of that. But it's not necessarily wrong today because it's in Leviticus, and it was only wrong then, like tattoos were wrong then, but not today. When Greg admits that it was wrong then down goes a lot of his theory. He basically throws out all his arguments against the New Testament passages. For example, suppose you had a man back in those days whose orientation was gay. His orientation was gay. What would God have required of him in the book of Leviticus? Not to go with that orientation. It would have been a sin. So it's not necessarily okay to go with your orientation, what you desire. Also, when you say, I was born that way, as if that's an excuse, what about the Israelites? Remember, Greg is admitting it was wrong under the Old Testament. We'll get to the New in a minute. He said it was wrong in the Old Testament, not the New. Then he's admitting that if you're born that way, you still can't practice it. Because there, according to him, there would have been some people born that way, not according to me, but according to him, born that way, but they couldn't practice it in that land, the Jews, because Leviticus says that it's wrong. Now, actually, God would never make something a sin, even in the Old Testament, that is genetic, not by choice. So, according to Greg's admission, this proves that homosexuals are not born that way. Do y'all understand my point? Even if it was right today, but if it was wrong then, it would prove that people who are born that way cannot practice it. Because the Israelites would have been told not to practice it even if they were born that way. Now let's go to Romans 1, 24 through 27. Greg said, in trying to answer this passage, he says, notice that verse 24 begins with wherefore. And then in verse 26 begins with for this cause. So he's saying, Greg was saying, I think what he was saying is, these sins are a result of not knowing God. I try to write this down as a quote. Not knowing God and denying who he is, which is taught five or six verses earlier. They didn't know God. They denied who he was. So they went into idolatry and they went into homosexuality. These sins that he's talking about in 26 and 27 are a result of that. Amen. That's exactly right. I think that's what he's saying. The sin of homosexuality was a result of them not knowing God and denying Him. Because if they'd have known Him and not denied Him, they wouldn't have committed this awful sin. That's exactly right. I don't know what it would prove in favor of his position, because I agree with it 100% if that's what he was saying. Now, I think Greg was making this point, though I wasn't real clear on it. He kept talking about idolatry. I think his point was, among other points, is that this sin of he didn't consider it a sin, but the homosexual behavior of these people was only wrong because it was associated with idolatry, which is in the chapter. It talks about idolatry. So he's saying that these people committing homosexuality, it wasn't wrong because they were homosexuals. It was wrong because they were having these relations in worship of the idol, and that's the only thing that made it wrong. But you remember I pointed out in verses 29 to 31 that the text also condemns fornication, murder, deceit, haters of God. According to Greg's reasoning then, it's all right to commit fornication, murder, deceit, or be a hater of God as long as you don't do it in worship to an idol. You could kill somebody, murder them, would be perfectly okay as long as you weren't worshiping an idol when you did it. Or you could commit fornication as long as you weren't doing that as a way of worshiping the idol. That's Greg's argument. That's the logical conclusion of his argument. But the text does not talk about that. It just, yes, the text does say they were committing idolatry and they were guilty of that. As a matter of fact, because of their idolatry, because they had forgotten God, God gave them up to this. In other words, when somebody is steeped in sin and you tried your hardest to get them to stop and they don't, sometimes you just give up. That's all that God is saying. He gave them up to this. Not that he had never tried to reach them again, but in a sense, he gave up. He gave them up to this sin because of their idolatry and then denying him. But don't you notice, this is not some dispassionate sexual act just because they're worshiping an idol. It calls it vile affection. This homosexual sin was not just to worship an idol, if it were that. It was driven by their personal affection, not just for the idol. Change the natural use. The sex act itself is called unnatural. Burned in their lust one toward another. It's not being done just to worship the idol. It was done because of their desire. That's why it's condemned. John Boswell, he's a champion homosexual scholar. He's not on my side of this issue. Here's what he said about this argument. It is clear that the sexual behavior itself is objectionable to Paul, not merely its association. Paul is not describing cold-blooded, dispassionate acts performed in the interest of ritual or ceremony. He states very clearly that the parties involved burn in their lust one toward another. This is what I was trying to say a while ago. He says it better than I can. It is unreasonable to infer from the passage that there was any motive for the behavior other than sexual desire. Richard Lovelace explains the connection between idolatry and homosexuality here better than I can. He said, the disorders in verses 24 through 32, which would include homosexuality, are not wrong because they issue from idolatry. They are wrong in and of themselves, and Paul mentions them because they prove the spiritual bankruptcy of idolatrous cultures. I think that's really what Greg was saying in essence that I agree with. The spiritual bankruptcy of idolatrous cultures, they had forgotten God, they didn't know God anymore, they were denying His name, and because of that they had gone off into homosexuality. Spiritual bankruptcy. Yeah, that's why they had done it. But that didn't make it wrong. That didn't make it right. That makes it wrong. They had compounded themselves. To any extent homosexuality is connected with idolatry, it simply compounds the sin. Let's talk about 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Notice it condemns homosexuals and sodomites in this verse. Let's look at the Greek word. I couldn't write down everything that Greg said, but one thing he said was, some guy, and of course you can read some commentary about what some guy said. That doesn't make him right. But some commentary says somewhere that this word is a reference to male temple prostitution. I don't have a problem with that. It doesn't contradict what I'm saying. If you have a word that means homosexual, in this case the one who takes the passive role, you could certainly use that word to refer to male prostitution when you're talking about a male prostitute who allows other males to pay money to have relations with him. If that's the kind of prostitution you're talking about, you certainly could use the word homosexual to refer to that. So I have no problem with that. It doesn't contradict anything that I've said. It condemns homosexuality. You know, the King James Version, my old King James Version, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, where it has this word, Malachi, the footnote says, perverts and homosexuals. Now, these people I've been quoting, like Artin Gingrich, Thayer, Strong, Wigram Green, these are guys who study the Greek. They have pretty much made it their life work to study the Greek. Thayer is perhaps the most well-known Greek dictionary of the Bible, where they take the Greek word and define it, like, for example, an English term, so we can understand it, those who are not real smart in the Greek. These are the scholars. They spent their whole life studying the Greek, and this is what they say. They say the word means perverts and homosexuals. Artin Gingrich says effeminate, especially catamites, men and boys who allow themselves to be misused homosexually. These are not people who are even members of the Church of Christ saying this. They're not in the same church I'm in. These are people who, not just people who write a commentary in order to justify their position. These people aren't trying to teach a certain position. They're just trying to define the word. And what they do is they go back in the writings of that time frame, the Bible too, but there's a lot more writings in that time frame than just the Bible. They look at the context of every word that Malachi is used. And all of these things, and by looking at it up about 200 different places, you can sort of figure out what the word means. And they're telling us what the word means. Thayer, I said, is the most famous Bible dictionary, as far as I know. He says, effeminate of a catamite, a male who submits his body to unnatural lewdness. We already talked about what lewdness means. Strong's a catamite, effeminate for soft. Wigram Green, effeminate, specifically as of homosexual males. That's what this word means. You can find anybody, especially people who are in favor of homosexuality, to define the words they want to, but these are the scholars, the people who know the Greek, that aren't trying to teach a certain position, they're just trying to tell you what the Greek means. And then the other word, the one who is talking about the male who takes on the active role in the gay relationship, look at all these words here. Of course, in the King James, we don't have that. The newer translations, though, the New American Standard, homosexuals. The New American Standard, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, where this word is also condemned, homosexuals. Thayer defines this word as the one who lies with the males with the female, sodomite. Artin Gingrich, a male homosexual. Pederast, sodomite. Strong, a sodomite. You know, if Sodom and Gomorrah weren't guilty of homosexuality, anybody got a good guess on when the Sodom and Gomorrah story happened? What year B.C.? Just a wild guess. Or get me close. What? So about 4,000 years ago? So for 4,000 years, we've called homosexuals sodomites. Because they were guilty in Sodom of the sin of inhospitality? How do you think that word was coined for sodomite to be talking about a homosexual for 4,000 years? You know why? It's because they were guilty of being sodomites. That's why. They were guilty of this sin, and the story is so famous, being in the Bible and read for centuries and centuries, that people just started calling homosexuals sodomites because they were like the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Wigram Green defines this word male homosexual sodomite. Look at all these translations, the newer translations, trying to tell us what that word means. They're translating homosexual, sodomite, homosexual, sodomite, partakers in homosexuality, those who participate in homosexuality, homosexualists, men who practice sodomy. These are guys who know the Greek that are translating what that word means. I ask you just to take the Bible for what it says. Don't try to get around it. You wouldn't be surprised what my boys will try to do to get around what I tell them to do. I'll tell them to do this, and they'll try to weasel their way around it. So they only have to do it. Did you ever do that, Ian Jonathan? I did a few times when I was young, too. Did you ever do that, Papa? He probably never did. He probably always obeyed his parents. This is what you're trying to do. The Bible is clear what it's telling you, and you're trying to weasel your way around it to justify your practice. You can't go to heaven that way. You can't interpret the Bible based upon what your practice is and what you want to do. You've got to make your practice conform to what the Bible actually says. He writes it in plain and clear terms. There's only a few places in the Bible, Peter mentions it about Paul, that are hard to be understood. The passages we're going over right now are not hard to be understood. They're very clear. They're very plain. Don't try to weasel your way around it, because then your eternal destiny is ruined. Let's go back to that passage of Leviticus. Yes, There are things in the Old Testament that are no longer wrong. I admitted that in my first speech. Okay? That's why I went to the New Testament to show that the same thing is wrong today, homosexuality. But I wanted to show you this in the Old Testament because it's put in the same category as bestiality. You see the verses on the left? Those are the verses that condemn homosexuality. And then right after that, almost in the same breath, it's like this. God says, a man should not lie with a man, neither should he lie with an animal. And neither should a woman lie with an animal. Does anybody here actually think that this sin of bestiality, that it's okay to do that today? Does anybody really think it's okay to have sex with an animal? Here's what the Bible's saying. I'm not trying to be ugly. I just wanted to be frank with you and tell the truth. A man having sex with a man or a woman having sex with a woman is like a man or woman having sex with an animal. It's put in the same category. This should wake you up. I'm not twisting anything. This is in Leviticus. It's in the Bible. God said it. True. It's in the Old Testament. And things may have changed. But that's why we went to the New Testament to prove the same thing. The same thing. Romans 1. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Does anybody here, be honest, really not understand what that's talking about? Now, if you understand what it's talking about, is Romans 1, 24 through, and 26 through 27, is it saying here that this activity is good or bad? Which one? Now, let's read verse 27, if I got it right. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet. Does anybody here not know what that's talking about? Don't cover your eyes. Jesus warned against that. Open your eyes. Everybody here knows what that's talking about. Everybody. It doesn't matter how long and how hard my friend Greg labors against it. Everybody here knows what that's talking about. You know. I know. And it's not saying it's a good thing. It says it's uncleanness, dishonor, vile, change the natural use against nature, leaving the natural use, unseemly, error. It's just like, in the sense that it will condemn you, it's just, in the context, it's just like fornication, wickedness, murder, deceit, being a hater of God. Just read your Bible. You know, if you go up here after the debate, Papa, can you hold my time? Hold my time. Just stop right.
Can I borrow your Bible if you don't mind, Greg?
Okay, Papa, start my time. Let's read 1 Corinthians 6:9 out of Greg's Bible. This is not the King James. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes. They got that word prostitutes in there. I didn't know, even though the word prostitute's not in there. Sodomites, what's that? That's the one that takes the active role. What's a sodomite? This is in Greg's Bible. It says sodomite. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 10. This is in Greg's Bible. See what it says. For the unholy and profane, those who kill their father and mother, for murderers, fornicators, sodomites. You see what it's saying? Do we know what a sodomite is?
I think we do.
Look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 10. Translated homosexuals, sodomites, and homosexuals. And it's condemned. How many times does the Bible have to say it for it to be true? Such were some of you. You remember my point. I'm just encouraging you. You can change. Here's some people, the Corinthians, that were homosexuals. Past tense meaning they had changed. You can change, and not only can you change, you should change. You will change if you want to be saved. A homosexual, just like a murderer, can be saved if they'll repent. Thank you very much for coming. And I urge you to listen to Greg with all your attention.